This season of the Mum Break podcast is brought to you by Bathorium, Canada's favorite clean and green beauty bath products. They make all-natural bath bombs, bath soaks, bubble baths, and accessories with no artificial fragrances or toxins. And they're vegan and ethically produced. To get 15% off, go to mumbreak.ca/bath.
Welcome to the Mum Break podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off, hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours.
Yeah. I'll jump right into it, and we can just get going from here. I'm really so happy that you're here, first of all. But what I would love to start with is just maybe a little bit about who you are and how you got started in this journey, because it's so wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for having me. And it's kind of a long story made short, but when I was in my 20s, I was living in Aspen, Colorado, being a ski bum after, you know, graduating from college, and I started having trouble with my knees. So I was skiing all the time and my knee was getting really swollen. And I started going this route of getting cortisone injections and taking all these anti-inflammatories and was in pain all the time. And I started thinking, I'm going to do this the natural way. So I went on a juice fast and I detoxed and I got off all of the medication and my knee improved. And so I started getting really interested in health and wellness. And that was back in the 70s. So I started this group in Aspen called AHA, Aspen Holistic Health Association, because we had a lot of cool people coming through Aspen in those days. So we'd have these different, you know, talks. And then I thought, I need to go back to school and get a master's degree. So I got a master's degree in health education, and I was working in the field for many years, was living in England, was a health journalist, investigative reporter on health issues. And then we came back to the States, and the girls, my daughters, I started late having kids. So I was 48 years old, and I had a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old.
And that's exhausting.
It was totally exhausting, but I hadn't been ready to be a mom until then. You know, I had a miscarriage somewhere in there, low progesterone, and that's another story, which we could talk about. But I started having mood swings and hot flashes like every 20 minutes. So I would have a hot flash, and then I'd go into this horrible, scary mood. And one day I've told this story many times, but one day I was looking at Ryan, my little one, and she had tears standing in her eyes. I could see that she was afraid of me. She was just like, you know, mean mommy, who are you? And so I realized, wow, I got to get a handle on this. Here I am in the health field and I'm scaring my children. And I was really being a bitch on wheels. You know, I was making everybody open the windows all the time during the middle of winter. And just, well, if you're cold, put on a sweater. And I was just horrible. And I was drinking coffee all the time. So I decided I better get my hormones tested. I started reading. Dr. John Lee was one of the first books I read, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Pre-Menopause, which is an important book to read. He studied with Katarina Dalton in England, who defined PMS. And he came back and started using natural bioidentical hormones in his practice in Mill Valley, where they had the highest rate of breast cancer in the country. And he never had another case of breast cancer in his practice. So he was amazing. I read his book and I was crying all the time, you know, and thinking, oh my God, he's talking to me. And then I emailed him and said, I'm a health educator. I'm having mood swings and hot flashes and I want to learn from you. What do I do? And so he said, well, I'm retiring, but call ZRT Lab, which was a huge hormone testing lab in Portland, Oregon, near where I was living in Oregon, and said, go there and talk to Dr. David Zava, who had co-written a book with him on breast cancer and hormone balance. So I went there, I got hired in one day, and ended up being there for 12 years. So my experience has been at the forefront of when this whole thing happened with the Women's Health Initiative showing that synthetic hormones were bad for women's health. You know, it made the headlines. Women were having heart attacks and doubling of blood clots, and breast cancers were up with women using synthetic HRT, you know, the hormones derived from pregnant mare's urine. So they stopped the study 3 years early. It was a big brouhaha. And then all of this information started coming out about, hey, there are natural hormones and there's such a thing as hormone imbalance. And there's such a thing as a hormone test to test for imbalance. So that's where I got into it. And I started learning from all the people that were moving into the field of integrative medicine and functional medicine, you know, find out what the cause is. And so, you know, from there, I was telling you earlier, I was there for a long time, but at some point I decided I got to talk to the women that were helping. I don't want to be sitting in any more executive meetings. I want to be talking to women. So that's what I'm doing with Your Hormone Balance. And I find that women really do need a little talk therapy. And they need to test, you know, if they have symptoms of imbalance, they need to test to confirm those symptoms and then get some natural remedies going. And we've been able to help a lot of people. So my thing is really staying healthy. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm an older mom. I'm in my early 70s now. And my daughter's, you know, I keep saying, nobody wants to hear from me. I'm an old bag now. And they go, Mom, you're the lesson. And so I try to be. I'm just trying to be as healthy as I can and to share what I've learned over the many years. I can't just sit on this knowledge. So I'm out here sharing what I know, and Your Hormone Balance is dedicated to educating women, and that's what we do.
I think that's
and that's what I do.
And it's wonderful. And I think the act of educating women is so important, because when I initially stumbled upon you, you listed and started talking about all these symptoms of hormone imbalance. And my brain, it was one of those aha moments where it, like you said, in the same way when you're reading Dr. John Lee's book, it's as though you're speaking to me about the daily struggles that I'm having. So for those who don't know much about hormone imbalance, what are some of those common symptoms that are associated with it?
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting, it's important to distinguish between, let's say, younger women and older women. So if you're a younger woman who's been on birth control for a long time, you are going to have automatic hormonal imbalance because, you know, the birth control is really shutting down your ovulation. And in doing so, you start to get symptoms, some of the most obvious symptoms of hormone imbalance. And these are just the hallmark symptoms for everybody, really, are heavy, painful periods. You know, when I was in college in Colorado, I remember there were several women that could never go out when they had their periods. They were curled up in a fetal ball in absolute agony. And we'd all go out and say, oh, poor Patty, you know, she's having a horrible period. But we just thought it was normal. Mm-hmm. But heavy, painful periods that incapacitate you, that you bleed through and you have to leave work, that's not normal. That's a hormone imbalance. Mood swings and PMS, the kind of, you know, my daughters always say, stop using that phrase, but pass me the shotgun kind of, you know, where I'm going to break up with my boyfriend or I'm going to divorce my husband.
Oh, my husband would appreciate that. I'm in the worst mood right around my brain.
Premenstrual syndrome has 150 symptoms, and it's just, you know, it's very commonly attached. So PMS, mood swings, hot flashes, night sweats, not being able to remember why you came into this room or what you're, you know, it's like sort of like, hello, have we been introduced? You look in the mirror and you think, I don't even know who you are. You know, just not feeling like yourself, feeling off. Crying at commercials, being hypersensitive, someone looks at you wrong and you have a meltdown. Fatigue. You wake up in the morning, you slept, maybe you didn't. Poor sleep is another, you know, a real hallmark symptom. Not being able to fall asleep or get to sleep, or if you do sleep, you still wake up in the morning not feeling rested. You know, you're dragging yourself out of bed, you're pushing through your day, you're irritable, you're impatient. You have sugar cravings, you have weight gain. Weight gain is a big association with weight gain and certain imbalances like estrogen dominance that inhibits thyroid action. Weight gain around the waist is attached to adrenal issues, asthma, allergies. And I see a lot of people's test results with very low stress hormone levels. You know, their cortisol levels are not following the normal curve, because cortisol is that hormone that is really, it's not the adrenaline that has you running from a forest fire. It's the everyday hormone that gets you out of bed in the morning and gets you going. And it's the hormone that regulates our nutrients so that we can feed the brain and feed the body. And it's also the hormone that regulates our immune system. So during COVID, we don't want to see people with low cortisol levels, but so many women are, you know, do have cortisol levels that are not high in the morning as they should be, or they're high at night when they should be low, you know, all kinds of imbalances being identified. And the great thing about it is that once you've identified these imbalances, you can say, so that's why you're feeling the way you are. And people can say, oh my God, there's a reason. I'm not just crazy.
That's the best feeling in the world. And it's so funny because I'm just starting down this path, my own personal path of, I have hypothyroidism as well. So it's all sort of this awful interconnection. I'm learning now, but again, I'm 33, I think, 33,
yeah.
33 or 34. And I'm now only just starting to learn about all of this year. How is this possible? This is all of these symptoms that you're talking about, with the exception of maybe one or two that I've listed off in front of me, all apply to me or have applied to me this year on almost a daily level. So it's wild to me that this is, and I'm sure everyone's who's listening right now is having that moment of, wow, this is me. This is what's happening right now. And then we're stuck in the midst of a pandemic where we talked about earlier, when everyone's jumping into adrenal fatigue and everyone's exhausted and stressed out.
And anxious. And, you know, another thing, so many women too, in the early years, you know, you get on birth control because you had acne, which is also mm-hmm. hormone imbalance, by the way. Acne and skin breakouts, or the heavy periods or the mood swings. And these young women get on birth control for 10, 12, 15 years. And then when they're ready, they meet the person of their dreams and they want to have a child, and they have a problem getting their periods back, or they can't get pregnant. You know, there are all these issues. And in the meantime, they have all of these imbalances. And I've talked to women even in their late 40s who are still on birth control because they're afraid they're going to get acne back, or they're going to get, you know, when these things are generally the imbalances that could be uncovered through testing. But yeah, we didn't get this in sex ed. They didn't teach us this at school. And doctors, you know, the average old school doctor before the Women's Health Initiative back in 2003 showed all these risks. By the way, there were many European studies, but the Women's Health Initiative was the first one in the United States to reveal these risks. But before then, women were just put on the same dose of the same hormone combination. You, me, the lady down the road, my mother, her sister, you know, we were all on the same thing, when we're not all the same. We basically have, you know, differences in our body chemistry. We get symptoms for different reasons. We have different levels of imbalance based on our diet, our, you know, our activity, our lifestyle, you know, and, you know, how long we've been doing things that actually disrupt ovulation. So, and then for women, you know, before, women who have given birth recently have all kinds of problems often, because, you know, when you give birth, before you deliver a baby, you're swimming, that baby is swimming in this wonderful sea of optimal hormones. And once you give birth, all those lovely hormones go out, you know, it's like baby with the bathwater. So, so many young mothers have postnatal depression, postpartum depression, and are, you know, and then here they're thrown into having to take care of a child and they can't even take care of themselves. They're depressed, they're exhausted. They're trying to get their milk up. This is a time when it's really important to get it right about, you know, where you're get your hormones in balance as best as possible. It's never going to be perfect, but you certainly want to get to a better place, and you can.
I have so many questions for you, because I could take this in so many different directions. But I think that the question that's jumping out to me the most right now is, you know, someone may be sitting here thinking, yes, I feel all these things. I'm exhausted. I have, you know, acne around the time of my period. I'm getting sugar cravings. I'm irritable, all of these things, whatever it might be for them. Now what? Now, where do they go? How do they identify this? And I know we're kind of jumping the gun a little bit here, but there's so many different types of testing out there that are available. Mm-hmm. And you have your own specific sort of protocol. Now what if they're in this stage?
Yeah. Well, you know, like me, when if I can reach out to your listeners and say, you aren't alone. There are so many, I've talked to so many women that are having any number of these symptoms and have lived with them for years sometimes. You know, how many people have had heavy, horrible periods for years, or acne that's never quite gone away, or can't get rid of belly fat? These kinds of things can go on for weeks, months, years. That's when you know that something isn't right. And most people I talk to who finally find their way to a hormone test say that. My doctor said I should just get on the pill, but I don't want to be on the pill anymore. I'm trying to get pregnant, or the pill doesn't make me feel good. I want to do things more naturally. Everybody's much more interested in being more natural and not taking things that they know are affecting their body and messing with their natural balance. So having a test, and I am in the saliva testing camp. And the reason for that is that, you know, the average test that if it even was offered to someone would be a blood test. Mm-hmm. And blood tests are great for many things, but blood tests are not ideal for measuring hormones, not especially not for measuring cortisol levels that, you know, that indicate how your adrenals are working. And since your adrenals have to do with that, you know, the stress function, your fatigue, your energy, they have to be measured 4 times over the course of 1 day. So you need to measure morning, noon, evening, bedtime. Now, who's going to get a blood draw 4 times in 1 day?
Definitely it's not saliva mothers actually, with young children.
Right.
No.
You know, saliva is the gold standard for measuring stress hormone levels. And that's hugely important during COVID, I think. And hugely important for determining, why am I anxious? Why am I impatient? Why am I irritable? Why can't I get rid of this belly fat? But also saliva, the main thing about it is that it's non-invasive. So I send you a kit and you're going to spit. You're going to fill that, the tubes in that kit, 4 tubes. With saliva. So we're not poking you with a needle, which can cause stress in the first place and skew results. And we're also measuring hormones that have moved out of the bloodstream into tissue. So all hormones are carried in the bloodstream on, you know, on blood, red blood cells. And there's always a signal from the brain saying, hey, she's exercising. She needs a little more testosterone. To you know, increase her lean muscle to lift those weights. Let's release some testosterone from the bloodstream and put it in the cells that need it, the target tissues. So we capture that hormone that has escaped or left the bloodstream, become unbound, free, bioavailable, that's what we call it. And it's moving into the target tissues. And hormones are like a key that opens the lock to a door. The door is the cell, the receptor site of the cell. So think about the key you use to open your own front door. It's that specific. So these cells have to leave the bloodstream, move into the target tissues, open the cell door, go in and start flipping all the master switches that rule our emotional, physical, mental health. So what we're doing in saliva is capturing active hormone levels, levels that are at work in the cells of the body. That's what I want to know. I want to know how much hormone is at work in my breast tissue. I don't want to know how much total hormone I have. I want to know how much hormone is active and working for me. Is it too low? Is it too high? What's going on? So that's why saliva, for its non-invasiveness, its convenience, its ability to test it, you know, collect at the right time of day, that's all really, really key to getting a clear, very close picture of what your levels are. And then we can correlate them with your symptoms much easier. So that's the way the testing is done. A kit is sent to your home and you test at a certain time of the month because we want to catch your hormone levels surging, and we test in the second half of the menstrual cycle, the luteal phase. That's like day a certain day, which has the instructions in there. So you test days 19, 20, or 21 of your cycle. And so that we can capture all the hormones, hopefully surging as they should be, and give us a good picture of where you stack up next to what, you know, what the level should be, what the expected level should be for your age. If you're supplementing with anything, all those things are taken into account. So that's a long answer, but I hope it made sense.
No, it's interesting because I think it's one of these things that people know so little about, myself included. And I've gone down this path of trying to figure these things out. And I still feel as though I just want to consume all of the information because I see firsthand how much all of these things affect me on a day-to-day basis. And yes. Now that I'm working towards them, how much better I can feel. And I know I've heard you say this in a few other interviews, but it's, for me almost, it's as though I just got used to living at this level of baseline discomfort and it was my new norm. And it's sad to me that I accepted that as okay for so, so long. And I think that's where a lot of us are living right now, which is, it's hard and difficult, but true.
It is true. And a lot of people say to me, well, my mother always had this problem or my aunt has this problem, as if because of that, it's a given that you will, but these things, you know, often are not, they're not so much, you know, you may have a tendency towards that because of your way of eating or your way of handling stress or a lack of sleep or the use of the pill, whatever, but it isn't a guarantee that because someone in your family had these issues or because you've always been tired and you've always had heavy periods that you always have to deal with it. You know, I do often say people become their symptoms. They just get so, as you just said, you get used to just dealing with it and since the doctors are going to say, the average doctor, not the new school doctor, like integrative physicians, or in Canada, I know you have a complementary medicine. In fact, the Canadian health system is a lot like the British health system, which is very humane, I think, and very open to exploring new things often, just so whatever saves the system money, but whatever is most effective. And that can be hormones that are plant-based and made from natural substances that really can mimic our own hormone, that kind of replenish and restore and help us feel, you know, get back into a normal place where we don't have to be suffering as though it was meant to be forever.
Yeah, and I think that ties in nicely to one of the questions that I got in our text group. So I sent out a request to my audience and they sent me a couple text questions for you. And one of them was about balancing hormones through nutrition. And you mentioned, you know, balancing things with natural methods. And I'm assuming you're talking about supplements, but is it also possible to start making helpful changes in the things that you're consuming from a food perspective?
Oh yeah, that's a huge topic. So number one, a lot of foods, now I'm not sure if this is true in Canada, but certainly in the United States, we have a factory farm mass production of food, beef and dairy in particular, and those cows are injected with hormones. Synthetic growth hormones that act like estrogens. Estrogen is a growth hormone, and estrogen is a good hormone. It made us female. It grew all our female organs, and it grows the egg and the ovary, and it grows that lining we shed as a period. But we don't want fake estrogens, what we call xenoestrogens, derived from horses, or, you know, we're not horses. These hormones are injected into cattle make them fat faster. They're injected into dairy cows. Dairy cows are kept pregnant most of their lives to produce the milk that is needed for mass production. And so they're not only making a ton of hormones because they're pregnant all the time, but then they're injected with hormones. So number one, you want to look for foods that say on the label, these animals have not been raised with artificial hormones, or it might say no artificial hormones. You have to you buy eggs, open the egg carton and see if it says these hens have not been given artificial hormones. That's number one, because anybody who's eating meat or dairy, that chicken, pork, farm-fed fish, all of these things they have hormones in them and they raise our hormone levels. They absolutely, they're called endocrine disruptors. You know, the hormonal system is the endocrine system. Endocrine disruptors are all those synthetic hormones that are in that food. So it's easy enough. We're lucky these days, you know, find somebody down the road that raises grass-fed beef if you like beef. Try other alternatives. There are all kinds of alternatives for chicken that isn't given hormones. You know, as I said, egg and dairy, there's so many great nut milks, like obviously there's every kind of nut milk out there now. And they're just wonderful alternatives for all that stuff that we can find that don't have hormones or GMO or antibiotics in them. But that's number one, because when I see people who are not onto that, their estrogen levels are usually way high. And if you're estrogen dominant with high levels of estrogen, you are going to be gaining weight in your hips, thighs, and bottom. It's going to be really hard to lose it, because estrogen dominance actually acts as a roadblock to thyroid function. And you probably going to ask me about that. We can talk about that down the road. But you don't want too much estrogen. It's a risk for thyroid problems. It's a risk for breast cancer. It's a risk for fibroids and cysts and all kinds of problems, because estrogen grows things. So that's number one. And then number two, you want to avoid caffeine if you're a big caffeine person, because that's a whip to the adrenals. You know, you think of those little adrenals, these tiny little organs sitting on top of the kidneys, and they're trying to, you know, regulate your blood sugar and insulin. They're trying to give you energy, feed your brain, trying to regulate your immune system and your sleep-wake cycle. And caffeine is like hitting them with the whip, saying, get up and go, you know, perform, perform, perform. So when we're drinking a lot of caffeine because we're not sleeping well, we're just undoing adrenals. And adrenals that don't work tend to steal hormones from the from their reproductive functions, because the adrenals have to work or we don't survive. So they will take progesterone, that all important hormone, from its reproductive functions in pregnancy and in our cycle, and use it to create cortisol. And then we're depleted on that end, and we can't get pregnant, and we have horrible periods, and we have miscarriages and all that. So there's that. And then there's the good stuff, like good proteins and good fats, because that's what hormones are made of. So we want to get plenty of, you know, avocado and eggs and all the, you know, not the bad fats, not the trans fats in margarine or the red, you know, the bad fat in fatty steaks, but the good fats that we know are in all the good olive oils and grapeseed oil. I mentioned avocados. We eat avocados constantly. I don't know how we can get enough of them. But you know, nuts and seeds, and there's just so many sources of good fats. All the nut butters, the nut milks. You want to get enough of those in your diet. And I find it's not that easy to get those in your diet. You got to think about it. Also protein, of course, of every, you know, the good proteins, the nutrient dense proteins. And if you're plant-based, you want to think quinoa and chia seeds and, you know, all those grains that are really high in protein. And then cruciferous vegetables happen to be like, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, so many interesting ways to prepare those now. Kale, what are some of the others? Spinach. These cruciferous vegetables are actually amazing. They've shown that they have an ingredient, their active ingredient is able to metabolize hormones in the system. So when you eat enough cruciferous vegetables, you actually are helping your body to use the estrogen and the hormones that you make and then excrete them. You know, we don't want to accumulate estrogens in the body and other hormones. We don't want them to build up and create imbalances. So these, whenever I see high estrogen in people, we talk about, let's get rid of the xenoestrogens in the food you're eating and go more organic. And then we also talk about, let's get some cruciferous vegetables in there to help rid your body of that buildup, that accumulation. And there's even a supplement called DIM, which is like eating 2 pounds of broccoli every day. But when I see too much estrogen in people, I definitely suggest DIM. And oh, by the way, it helps liver detox, and it seems to help people clear up acne and bad skin. So cruciferous vegetables are our friend. So on the good side, we're talking good fats, lots of nutrient-dense healthy proteins, plant-based proteins, combining those correctly, because that's really important. Plant-based eating can deprive you of protein if your go-to is carbs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, complex carbs, you know, all the good stuff we all know about, but don't necessarily get the right balance of. And then, you know, there's the wine on the wheat. Who doesn't love wine? Wine has its virtues. It's better to drink red than white for the most part, because it's got that resveratrol in it. But you know, you got to go easy on the alcohol and the sugars and the caffeine. I think those are the main things, because they really can wreak havoc with adrenal balance.
Do you have a magic number you tell your clients for caffeine consumption a day?
I think it's totally fine to have one or two cups a day in the morning. And in fact, it's interesting. I find most people are doing that. Most people are hip to the fact that 5 and 6 cups of coffee a day is not the way to go. They start to feel exhausted and jittery. They can't sleep at night. You know, I think since so many of us are working at home, and that you're not in the office with that coffee pot going all the time, that's probably been a boon. And then there's so many great alternatives to caffeine. There are the Sigmatic, 4-Sigmatic mushroom coffees, and the matcha tea has caffeine, but it's a much milder kind of caffeine that leaves you feeling alert, but not jittery and anxious. So there are lots of alternatives there, but I'd say a nice cup of coffee in the morning with a little oat milk in it. I love that as much as the next person. Why not? One or two at the max, but not any, you know, not in the afternoon and not any later than that. Then you got to switch to tea and, you know, I actually love my English tea in the morning. I'm really not a coffee person. I love my tea. Having lived in England for so long, I have the cup of tea habit, but I only have a couple cups. Actually, I still have my second cup here.
Oh, wow. And yeah, we're recording this at 4:40, so it's good.
Well, I'm at 1:40.
Yes.
So I don't drink any caffeine after like 2 p.m. But I think caffeine is really, that's, you know, in all those drinks too, like Mountain Dew and the Red Bull drinks, they are loaded. They're so loaded. So that's the kind of thing to avoid, definitely.
Well, it's so funny, since I started sort of focusing on myself and understanding my thyroid and my hormone stuff, I've intentionally scaled back from coffee, because I got to the point with motherhood and working that I was at that 5 or 6 cups a day, and it actually didn't affect me. I was still able to fall asleep. I know that it actually had some underlying effects, but I was able to sleep, so I didn't think it was a problem. And when I scaled back, I had to go through all the withdrawal, and now I can easily just have a cup of tea in the morning. It's just become more of a comfort thing, the coffee, than anything, but I don't need it anymore, which is wild.
That's what I did too, because when I was describing to you that my children were afraid of me, I wasn't sleeping well, and I was drinking way too much caffeine, and it was just making me, I was really very monstrous, I think. And I did the same thing. I just scaled back, and now I actually, the only time I can drink a coffee is if I put oat milk in it. That seems to take away some of the acid, and I drink cold brew if I have it. I think cold brew is a better choice because it's less acidic.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't even thought of that. I have to look into it.
I want to take a quick minute for this season's podcast sponsor, Bathorium. I was so excited when they agreed to sign up to be this season's podcast sponsor, because I have been a huge fan since COVID started. And even more interestingly, I wasn't a bath fan before I started using their products. I didn't like the idea of having to sit still and take a bath. And now through COVID, it is the only time that I can, and only way that I find I'm able to decompress and take a moment to myself. My favorite are the bath soaks. They're so, so wonderful. And I get out feeling smooth and relaxed and amazing. And they've decided to give you guys 15% off on everything on their website. All you need to do to get the code and get access to that discount is go to mumbreak.ca/bath. I'm super excited to support this Canadian company who make all of their vegan and ethically produced products in Canada. I even love talking to the marketing manager, who's an Ottawa mom, who is a wonderful human being. So super excited about this podcast sponsor. Go check out their stuff, mumbreak.ca/bath, to get 15% off.
Well, I would love to just tackle how the thyroid and hormones and adrenal system and all of that interconnects, because I think that's the biggest dark hole in my understanding of everything. Is I have a sort of, finally have an understanding after, you know, 12 years of being diagnosed hypothyroidism of my thyroid, sort of. But then now there's the component of how then your adrenal systems play in, which of course is stress and all that regulation and hormones as well. So how do they all interconnect and work together? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, it's not that easy to understand. And I should say I'm not really, I'm not an expert on thyroid per se. I don't treat thyroid, et cetera, but I definitely understand the primary connection between hormones and, you know, hormone imbalances and thyroid. And one of the interesting things about that whole conversation is so many women who have weight problems and have had weight problems for years and can't lose weight at all, or they're, you know, they're lethargic, or they're on an antidepressant because they feel depressed all the time. You know, different things like feeling cold all the time, constipated, low metabolism. Those are all thyroid things. So a lot of women will go and get a thyroid test, usually spurred on by this frustration with not being able to lose weight. And often the test will come back normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear this all the time. I've been tested for thyroid and it's normal. So why can't I lose weight? Why do I have all these symptoms? And what's interesting is that there's something called functional hypothyroidism, where it is what I'm describing. You go, you have all these symptoms, you get a test, but your thyroid levels look normal. So functional hypothyroidism is referring to a condition where your thyroid is actually healthy and functioning, but it's being thwarted or undermined by a hidden existing imbalance of other hormones, like estrogen dominance, where estrogen is either high or it's in excess relative to progesterone. Estrogen dominance, you know, all these hormones throw out binding proteins, and too much estrogen actually binds up thyroid hormone and keeps it from being activated, or it can act as a roadblock in the conversion of T4, which is the most abundant thyroid hormone that the thyroid makes. It's called thyroxine. Thyroxine is the most abundant thyroid hormone, but it's not actually active. It has to convert to T3, which is triiodothyronine. You don't have to remember that word. You know it because you have hypothyroid, but T4 has to convert to T3 to get thyroid actually working at the cellular level. And estrogen dominance can act as a roadblock to that conversion. So it's important to identify if you're a person who is, you know, had normal thyroid tests and yet you have all these symptoms, it's important to find out, do I have another imbalance, a hidden underlying imbalance that's you know, that's thwarting my thyroid function? And the other thyroid thwarter is adrenal imbalance, because the adrenals do work closely, hand in glove. Dr. Zava, my mentor, used to call it, he said they were like bivalves. They work so closely together, the thyroid and the adrenal. So if the adrenals are stressed, taxed, and underperforming, that also inhibits thyroid function. So I often tell people, you know, they'll say, should I get my thyroid tested? That's another point I should mention too. The average doctor, and I don't know if this is the way it is in Canada, but if you get a thyroid test, you usually get TSH tested and that's it.
Yeah, they won't do T3 and T4 in Ontario, right, unless you have a proven TSH out of range, which is ridiculous, because I wasn't diagnosed that way.
Right. And still, I mean, so same here, the average test that's going to be covered by your insurance is TSH, which is thyroid stimulating hormone, which is really the pituitary signal from the brain to the thyroid saying, hey, make some thyroid. She needs some thyroid hormone. And if that level is high, it kind of, a high TSH indicates a low thyroid function. Why? Because that high TSH is saying that the pituitary is knocking on the door. It's knocking, knocking, knocking louder and louder and louder, saying make thyroid. And that message is falling on deaf ears. But it's not the whole story. You need to know what your T4 and your T3 levels are as well. And even TPO, the thyroid antibodies that determine whether you have an autoimmune condition with thyroiditis or Hashimoto's, So all, you know, for your listeners, if you really think you have thyroid issues, don't be happy with just a TSH. Go the extra mile and get your, you know, the T4, T3, and TPO tested. I do actually offer that testing in a dried blood spot. You can get it in a kit and I can send that to you. You prick your finger, drop blood on a card, and we can analyze those levels. But I always say to people, first, let's tackle the underlying estrogen dominance, the low progesterone, the taxed adrenals. Let's look at those things first, because writing those and correcting those can often get rid of thyroid issues. And another thing that's important, Dr. Lee, I mentioned earlier in this call, found that most of his thyroid issues were in women in perimenopause, women who were in their late 30s or 40s, moving into that 10-year period where your ovaries start to kind of pack their bags. You know, the ovaries kind of start to wane and become less reliable. You're not ovulating every cycle. You're not making, reliable amounts of hormone. And sometimes that happens earlier, especially in young moms who are stressed or people who are just extra hyper-stressed. Ovulation's disrupted, et cetera. But that's often when thyroid hormone issues crop up in perimenopausal women who have fluctuating hormones. You know, why else is it that women have 7 times more thyroid issues than men? And why do these show up in periods of stress or, you know, in periods of hormonal shifts and transitions? So that's what I would say about thyroid. I don't encourage people to rush out, get a thyroid test, get put on thyroid meds if they are shown to have a problem without first testing their underlying imbalances. And I mean, it's possible that you yourself could have a hidden imbalance that's thwarting your thyroid action, and that by correcting that, you might be able to, you know, wean off some of the thyroid meds. I'm not making promises, and I wouldn't be the person to treat you with that, but that's information you'd want to have.
Well, it's so interesting. I think you explain that better than anybody ever has to me, because, and again, especially in Canada, because there really aren't, the system is just so strange. You go to your doctor and it's just, hey, sure, we'll test TSH, no, everything's fine. We don't talk about hormones. We don't talk about adrenal imbalance. We don't talk about any of these things and how they relate. So I think it's really interesting to put it from the perspective of this estrogen dominance and this adrenal imbalance are those roadblocks to other things, and to deal with that first throughout about all this balancing is what's setting you up for the building blocks for success.
That's exactly right. And that's what I really encourage people to do. It's just so easy to start with the big guns, you know, with the thyroid meds. And especially because, as you say, people don't know. I mean, who knew? I remember when Oprah opened one of her television shows some years ago, and believe me, we were trying to get to her to say, you know, she finally did it. She opened a show and she said, you could be walking around with a hormone imbalance and not even know it, because so many of these symptoms have become so ingrained in who we are as females, and we just deal with it, don't we? We're so busy taking care of everybody else, especially when we're moms. We don't have time to, you know, to address these things that we're struggling with or have been struggling with for months or years. So,
No, it's
an important topic.
It is an important, and it's funny you bring up Oprah, because I know that she's been very open about her hypothyroidism as well. And it's often when people don't know what it is, I often joke, I have the Oprah thyroid one where you can't lose weight.
Yeah.
But she's just so iconic. I want to touch on quickly adrenal imbalance, because I think it's prevalent to what's going on right now in the world. Can you just explain to people quickly what adrenal imbalance is and how it can affect women, especially in this time of stress right now?
You know, almost everybody I talk to now has anxiety. That's the number one anxiety. They have, you know, they're so anxious and impatient and irritable. They can't even think about having sex with their husband, you know, or their partner. Everybody's got a low libido. Everybody's exhausted. People are getting sick more often and not bouncing back. They've got this belly fat they can't get rid of. They've got allergies and asthma. These are all adrenal issues. And it really has to do with you know, there's a phrase called adrenal fatigue, and a lot of people take issue with that. They say, oh, there's no such thing as tired adrenals. But there is such a thing as the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, which if you really want to get into it, there's a lot to read about the relationship between our hypothalamus, our pituitary, and our adrenals. They have to be, those three amazing and important organs have to be working together in synchrony. And if they're not, especially, I think a lot of the imbalances are fomented by adrenals that are off because we are not getting enough sleep, because we are burning the candle at both ends. You know, so many people say, oh, I'll sleep when I die. Before COVID, I remember the most popular expression was, I'm just crazy busy. I'm, you know, and stress can be good stress or it can be bad stress. Stress is, everybody's talking about, I'm stressed out, I'm this, I'm that. Right, we are, because we keep going. We don't make breaks for ourselves. I think it really comes down to people pushing their way through the day, not bothering to eat at, you know, proper meals with the good fats and the proteins that the adrenals need to turn into energy. How can the adrenals function without these good foods that we need to eat on a regular basis? So many people are practicing restrictive diets. They are doing intermittent fasting. They're skipping breakfast. I'm not saying intermittent fasting is always bad, but if you have low adrenal function, that's hell on wheels for your adrenals to not have enough nutrition. So I think it's lack of nutrients that affect the adrenals' ability to regulate blood sugar and insulin so that we have the right amount of energy pulsing throughout the day. The adrenals should be, we should have high cortisol levels in the morning. There's something called the cortisol awakening response. You should wake up in the morning feeling rested and with the highest levels of cortisol for your day. And then what the adrenals do is they kind of gradually drop in their cortisol production throughout the day to the lowest point at night, so that now they're regulating the sleep-wake cycle and they're now putting you to calming and promoting your sleep. So we want to see this diurnal curve where your levels are high in the morning and dropping gradually, not high in the morning and then plummeting to a very low level at noon and then bumping along the bottom all the rest of the day. That looks like tired adrenals. It's basically a dysfunction of that HPA axis I mentioned, but it results in adrenals that are underperforming. So when they're underperforming, we don't have as much energy. We're tired in the morning. We're tired in the afternoon. We collapse into bed and then we can't sleep, or we're tired and wired. You've heard that expression. How many people have told me, I'm so tired when I get up in the morning, and then when I go to bed at night, I could run a marathon. I'm ready to run a marathon. So, you know, this is a very real, it's a very real thing. And it has a lot to do with a lack of ovulation. So people who are not ovulating, either because they're on birth control or because they're over-exercising, that's a big issue. Women who are desperate to lose weight or who are addicted to exercise often don't ovulate. You know, women who are Olympian athletes and trainers are famous for having anovulatory cycles. If you don't ovulate, you don't make the right complement of hormones, and the adrenals get, you know, they have no progesterone to work with. And progesterone is the hormone we make upon ovulation. It's critical to having a normal pregnancy. It's critical to balancing excess estrogen, and it's critical for the adrenals because the adrenals actually use progesterone as the precursor of cortisol. Precursor meaning the raw source material. All these hormones break down to other hormones. It's like the Bible. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, you know, so the adrenals have to have, so over-exercise, long-term use of birth control, burning the candle at both ends where you get up at 4 a.m, you do a whack, you know, way workout, you're working out 7 days a week, your body never has time to recover. It's also exposure to chemicals in the environment. We were talking about the synthetics in foods, but there are also chemicals in our makeup. You know, the Cosmetic Safety Act hasn't had an update in 80 years in this country.
What?
The cosmetic industry can put any crap they want in their products. So you are using all over your skin, the largest absorptive organ, moisturizers and creams and makeup, and there's lead in eyeliner, you know, there's lead in lipstick. There's stuff like cadmium and heavy metals in things that we're putting on our bodies. Those things are heavy duty, potent disruptors of adrenal function and hormones. So all of these things contribute. It really gets into the conversation of, hey, you know what you really need to do is take a break, give yourself, cut yourself some slack. If you're a busy working, what the name of your podcast, Erica, Mom Break, Moms Take a Break. I used to say to my family, can I just have 5 minutes peace? I need the morning to have my cup of tea. I want to stare into space. I want to do nothing that's particularly busy on purpose. You know, we need to make time for ourselves. I think that's the biggest issue with adrenal problems. It's people not making time to take care of them. And moms are notorious for this. We're taking care of our kids. Sometimes we're taking care of our own moms. You know, we're in between generations. It's a lack, it's too much caffeine. It's a lack of those nutrients I talked about. It's a lack of sleep. You know, all of these chronic inhibitors of adrenal function. So the adrenals are just these tiny little glands. They're pyramids that sit on top of the kidneys. They're just trying to act as a bellows. Like when you're making your fire, that's what your adrenals are. And they work and they work and they work their hearts out for us. But if we don't support them with enough rest and relaxation and the right nutrients and enough sleep and, you know, not too much caffeine and alcohol and all that, then they get, you know, they don't perform. They stop performing. And that's when I see levels that are not high in the morning, they're low in the morning. So when that level should be highest, it's lowest. And then I see levels high at night. So you've got this rising cortisol and you can't sleep. This is something that is very crucial to turning around, especially during COVID. So I'd say if anything, you know, with a lot of people, the first place they need to start working on is supporting their adrenal function. And that means doing all those things I'm talking about, but it also means getting some progesterone on board. If you're low in progesterone, there's bioidentical progesterone that's available made from wild yam and plants. It means getting B complex on board. Very, very important. The Bs are essential for actually ovulating and conceiving and for adrenal function. They're cofactors in breaking down the glucose molecule into energy. There are many, many things. There are great tinctures. I don't know if in Canada, are you into adaptogenic herbs? You know, the kind of herbs that help the adrenals adapt to stress.
I just heard about that term from my nutritionist the other day. And I was surprised by how simple it was in that.
Yeah.
Things that I didn't know were adaptogens.
A lot of people don't. I didn't know about it till a few years ago. But, you know, there are things like, some people say, no, I don't know what they are, but you do know what ginseng is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are things like the female ginseng is Dong Quai. There's all kinds of ashwagandha, rhodiola, maca. These are all herbs that actually have been studied on Olympic athletes and astronauts. Love studying in Russia on these herbs. They've been shown to nourish and strengthen adrenal function. So I often suggest to people who need some tender loving care on their adrenals that they definitely get some B complex on board and some adaptogenic tinctures, which taste like hell. I do warn people. I mean, they're really strong, but you know, you get used to them and sometimes you just need to pop a strawberry in your mouth or some berries. You know, some nice phytoestrogenic antioxidant fruit to take away the taste. But there are several things you can do to strengthen your adrenals. And so many people do it. And one of the first things people say to me when I talk to them again is, I have so much more energy. I definitely have more energy. Or I'm sleeping better. Or I'm not, you know, my asthma isn't as bad. All kinds of subtle things that actually, I ask people to journal. My daughter created a wonderful journal because you know how when you feel better, you just get on with it? And sometimes you forget, hey, I thought I was sleeping, but I'm sleeping deeper now. I'm getting into the REM stages of sleep and I'm feeling more restored and refreshed and makes a whole difference in your day, how you perform, how you think, how you focus. Can you think straight? Can you remember your own name? Or are you on top of your game and you're... you know, and you're able to concentrate and process information as you would like to. That's another big complaint among a lot of people, brain fog. And yeah. That's a big, I mean, I think we're all somewhat exhausted when we're, and that's where, you know, taking care of the adrenals is also hugely, hugely important. But they are, I'd say the adrenals and the thyroid are actually, as I mentioned, my mentor, Dr. Zava, he calls it the he calls them the king and queen of hormone of the endocrine system, the thyroid and the adrenals.
Oh, too funny. Well, it's wild because, I mean, as you sat there and, you know, talked about how people with thyroids are cold, I'm literally sitting here with a heating pad on my lap because I'm cold. Yeah. And all of these things, it's, you talk about the brain fog with your adrenals, and we joke in jest about mom brain being a thing, but
yeah,
like we could fix it. I don't need to forget to close my garage and go to work. I could fix it.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
What I find is many people are doing a lot of things right. A lot of people say they're eating clean. They're on to the grass fed. They know not to let chemicals be in their foods. They're off of GMO. They're trying to meditate or de-stress with getting out in nature is hugely important. There's outdoor deprivation syndrome has been noted. People not getting out into the sun and air whenever they can. And even in gray climates, you know, it's important to, you know, get what sun you can and take vitamin D if necessary. Very important for the immune system. But just taking time for yourself and supplementing because, you know, a lot of people will say, well, but I do eat right, but I don't want to take any supplements. I'm bored with supplements. I don't like to swallow things. I forget, et cetera. But, you know, none of us are eating the perfect diet all the time. We have interruptions in our food and the way we eat, the time we take, we're eating in front of the television, we're eating on the rush. When I had little kids, I was eating all the leftovers from their lunch. Mm-hmm. Talk about not, you know, I'd make lunch in the morning and then eat all that stuff. And then I'd eat again. And, you know, it's like, we're not balanced. And sometimes when you start to realize you need some replenishment, you know, nutrients and supplements like herbs and vitamins are part of your nutritional plan. You have to see them as part of your good nutrition and part of, you know, building up your body and keeping it whole and safe, keeping well, replenishing those things that our bodies can't make. What are there, 9 or 11 amino acids our bodies don't make? We have to get them from the foods we eat. And, you know, for older women and older moms especially, we do need to replenish with natural hormones sometimes because our bodies are not making them for us. And that's when we start to feel old and tired and we see our skin start to crumble and, you know, we can't maintain our moods or our strength and energy. And it's not, you don't want to age that way. And I think for younger moms and younger women, we need to be cognizant of all this so that we can cruise into our perimenopause and our menopause without bouncing off the walls with a million symptoms. And, you know, being tough on the people we love most in all the world. That's who usually gets the brunt of a hormone imbalance, our partners, our kids, you know, and we got to get a handle on that.
Well, it's funny. I think my moment too was similar to yours with Ryan in that I realized the people who are suffering the most, I mean, I could grin and bear it because this is what women do, but it was my children and my capacity to deal with them and my husband as well, but he has a little bit more say in it. But my kids, they're little, they don't know. They can't control when mom is grumpy and snappy and they are not doing anything just beyond being kids and learning. And it drove me nuts. So
yeah,
that was my breaking point as well, actually. And as I'm sure many people have, it's hard for sure.
Oh, I've had women describe to me like they feel like they're Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel so guilty, you know, about how that's affecting their children. And I think our children know who loves them best in all the world, and we can make it up to them. But in my own family, some of the most famous stories are of mother having her meltdowns. I mean, I have to hear this more than once.
I love it. I'm curious now to see what my kids will think of my meltdowns. I look forward to fond memories. Now, if people are as hooked on the idea of doing testing and finding more out about what you do and what you offer, Can you tell everybody a little bit about, I mean, we talked a little bit about the testing, but just what they can expect from working with you and anything else that you want to add?
Sure. Well, we have started, you know, several years ago, started Your Hormone Balance, which was my attempt to get to talking to women. And we have a great website. So go to www.yourhormonebalance.com and take our symptom quiz. You know, that's the first step, knowing what the symptoms of hormone imbalance are. And, you know, we have several, lots of symptoms listed there. See, take the quiz and it will give you an idea if you are likely to probably have a hormone imbalance. You can then order a test kit from the website as well. And we have three different kinds of kits. One, you can get a test if you we have different price points. So one test has, two of the tests have consults with me, and one is with my daughter, Jess, who's a nutritional health coach. And then there's another test that has, you get the kit in the mail, you take your test, and you receive an action plan after the results are in. So we analyze all the test kits. We give you an action plan so that you aren't left hanging with, what do these numbers mean? We interpret them. I think ideally it's good to talk to me or to Jess to go through your results, but you have a choice. And the test kit comes to you in the mail. You collect at home at the optimal times, as I suggested, certain days of the month. If you still have cycles, women who don't have cycles anymore can collect anytime. And you collect four times during the course of the day. Pretty easy. Some people get a little fussed trying to get enough saliva. Some people have a dry mouth, so hydrating the day before can help. And you only have to fill the tube like a quarter full, minus bubbles. And then you send the kit in. It's saliva is fine at room temperature. You send it into our lab in Oregon. And I work with my my old colleague from ZRT. Our scientific director has started his own lab, IUmetrics, and he's been doing this for 10 years. He and his wife were the scientific director and the lab director, so they really know their stuff. And you get your results in about 5 to 7 business days, and then we let you know, hey, your results are in, and here's where you schedule a consult with Candace or Jessica. Or if you don't have a consult, we'll review your results and get an action plan back to you. And then there's always a chance you can add in a consult if you want to talk to somebody. So it's really about getting these levels tested to confirm that the symptoms you are living with are signs of hormone imbalance. Is your estrogen high? Are you dominant? Is your progesterone low? What do your adrenals look like? You know, is that curve way off? Is your testosterone too high, which would have a lot to do with acne and bad skin and feeling edgy? Or is it too low, which would have a lot to do with having no physical stamina, no libido? So we can identify all of these things. And it's just, I do think a lot of people that haven't been able to get their period or get pregnant have been able to. A lot of people have seen their skin clear up, their moods clear up, their periods get less heavy. You know, these changes can happen. It's not, you know, it's a little bit of magic, but it's just the body. It's just mimicking Mother Nature, doing what we need to do to give our bodies what we need. And that doesn't imply just supplements or hormones. It means lifestyle and exercise and the way you eat. So we try to cover all of those things and give you the whole picture. And I'd love to offer your listeners $100 discount on any one of the kits. As I said, just go to Your Hormone Balance. And then also we have a great Instagram. My daughters are really hip to Instagram and they're posting
they do
every
it well.
Single day. I think you said, Erica, that you think our Instagram is great. And I think it is too. It's fun. They have all kinds of great information, and we work hard to put good information out, but they're also always, you know, putting out funny memes and different things that make it entertaining. And we have a great newsletter. So the object is, let's talk about this. No, we didn't get this in sex ed, but we're going to get it now. And, you know, as I said, we agreed. Most people say, why didn't I know about this? Why didn't my doctor tell me? Well, there are a lot more people out there that know about this now, and we're sharing the information. I'm one of many. But it's, I think it's necessary, terribly important information. It's even you know, we're talking prevention of breast cancer too, when we're talking about hormones being in balance. Hormones rule, and they have to be, in some semblance of balance. It's never going to be perfect, but it's like the synchronized swimmers, you know, you want them all in that pedal formation, not swimming off in different directions and making waves and diving to the bottom of the pool. We need to be in some sort of synchrony. That's how hormones work. And when they are in synchrony, we are in synchrony. We feel more like ourselves. And that's what everybody says to me. I just want to feel more like me. Mm-hmm. And you can get back to that me. You can blame it on your hormones and get back to feeling like yourself. It's very possible.
That sounds wonderful. And all of the information we chatted about, I'll put in the notes below, as well as the discount code and all that for the $100 off, the link to the quiz, all the links to your Instagram. But I honestly, guys, go check out this family team, which you guys really, you are. It's this wonderful powerhouse of women just helping other women.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate you sharing all your knowledge. I hope that everyone... And I know that everybody so needed this and needs to hear this because it is the baseline for our health and happiness, I think, as women.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And thanks, Erica. It's been really fun.